You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
It's wonderful to be with you again this week. And we have a wonderful guest for you. You know, our mission is to bring guests on who share uplifting information with us and help us to live more abundantly as our Creator wants us to. And our guest this afternoon is a wonderful person to do just that. But before I introduce her, I'd like to read her favorite proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And this is Miss Pam Shields' favorite African proverb. And Mrs. Shields is the founder and organizer of the Urban Aging Resident Coalition, UARC, the Urban Aging Resident Coalition. Welcome this afternoon, Ms. Shields.
Good afternoon, and thank you from the abundance of my heart, Pastor Carolyn Pettigrew. You are amazing, and the platform that you've created to lift the voice of those of us who are marginalized and often overlooked. I extend nothing but gratitude towards you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just so blessed to be able to do this and have gratitude to you for being one of the servants in the community who is a person who walks alongside those who are marginalized. You know, I'd like to start off with having you just introduce yourself. Just tell us whatever you'd like to tell us about yourself and why this is your favorite African proverb.
Well, first, I would like to just extend a word of praise to our great city of Columbus for the work that we're doing, and I cannot say that this is a solo act. It is on the shoulders of many other giants and leaders and legislators in this city that provide the initiative and the platform. So I want to acknowledge that we have a city where we have leaders who will listen, and I think that's important. So
it
I'd
sure
like to
is.
Use that as my intro. So I'm very thankful to God that my life had been shaped coming out of Toledo, Ohio, with parents who were born again, baptized believers, and they believed in structuring the family so that we had strong work ethics as well as being driven by education. And at a very young age, my father died tragically in an automobile accident, and that left my mother to raise four children with the help of her brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and a family, clearly, that stays together when they pray are strengthened. So I thank God for that shaping and molding. So my journey began as attending Norfolk State University, where I had a scholarship in 1972, and within a year, the presidential administration back then, I believe it was President Nixon, cut the funding.
Hmm.
And, of course, it hit all the HBCs, the historically black colleges. And by me being an out-of-state student, my scholarship was clearly in place, but I was not eligible for any loans. I mean, any grant, only loans. And my mother then said to me to return back to Ohio, and I attended Ohio State University, was very successful under the direction of Dr. Frank Hale with the Office of Minority Affairs. That was how all of this was developed to empower African-American students. So I'm a product of that, those years. And then we started the Student Black Church on the campus. And the journey begins to get more interesting because I moved on and got married, and began to work state government, and then eventually landed a position with Columbus Urban League under the direction of Frank Lomax at that time, and received a promotion to work with the seniors in community. And that was a group of funding that was received from the Department of Labor for senior citizens who were being displaced. This is back in the 80s. My love for senior citizens really started before then, but I think that's when the gift was stirred up and God did that for me. So I've always had a heart for older people. As life would evolve and things would change, I never lost my passion for wanting to help older people. As I began to experience the aging process and medical issues, and I live on the Near East Side, and I was beginning to discover data that said the life expectancy for African Americans who live in the 43203, the 03 zip code over here, our life expectancy was ranging anywhere from 65 to 69. I couldn't believe it. And when you compare that to our white counterparts, their life expectancy was anywhere from age 79 to 82.
Mm-hmm.
But ours was based upon chronic diseases and the lack of competent, culturally competent medical care.
Yes.
So then the pandemic hit, and that was the deciding factor that I had to do something because I just had major surgery. So,
well, I thank you for starting us off with such a wonderful introduction to your life and how you got here to your passion. It's interesting, isn't it, how our calls and passions just unfold gradually in our life, and we get opportunities to be able to live into those passions. You actually studied and were mentored by some great giants in the field of serving African Americans. Dr. Hale, he's a legend.
Yes.
Frank Lomax, he's a legend.
And yes.
So you were really, really blessed to come back here, attend OSU, and be mentored by such giants, and then come into your calling of your passion for older people. You had a wonderful start in life. I'm sorry about the loss of your father.
Yes.
And it sounds that your mother and your family was just surrounded by that legendary, strong black family that we used to hear so much about, you know?
Yes.
And that's a blessing in and of itself. I want to go on into how you founded the coalition. But before we do, since I read the African proverb, can you tell me why you selected that as your favorite proverb? Does that lead into your life story as you've been telling it to us?
Yes, it does, because it gives a fundamental truth to, first of all, motion and movement. In order to proceed, there must be motion.
Okay.
And when there's motion, we've got to have movement. Well, if I want to lead and go into my destiny, purpose, and activate my passion, mm-hmm. I can do it by, I have a choice. I can do it by myself. But if I want to go further, it means I've got to take somebody with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to do it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No man is an island. We cannot allow ourselves to be isolated.
That's right.
And that is why I love that African proverb, because it doesn't say you can't do it. It says, if you want to measure the distance and have a broader reach, if you want to go, as Star Trek says, go beyond where no man has ever gone before,
mm-hmm.
I've got to take others with me.
Yes.
I cannot do it on my strength alone.
That's right. That's right. We're better together. We're better
Absolutely.
Together. Two are better than one. And while one may have the seed of the dream, they then are brought into the path of another who have a part of the seed of that dream. And so you connect in that way because you come together and you each have a part of it to help it to become the whole. And as you say, you move forward together to actualize
yes.
it. And that's clearly what you have done in
yes.
this program, in your program, the Urban Aging Residents Coalition. And you were about to tell us about how you came to found this organization.
So I actually was selected in 2019, pre-pandemic stage, to participate in the Near East Side Leadership Academy. So part of that is funded through Ohio State as well as United Way, and they will recognize the leaders in the neighborhood that really want to, again, advance an agenda to bring unity in the community. So I was selected, accepted, and part of my passion began to evolve once again because I'm going through the aging process too. And as I wrote up my, in my cohort, I wrote up my mission statement. That's how I came up with the name Urban Aging Resident. As I began to share it with others, there were younger people in their 30s and 40s saying, ages, right? Saying,
mm-hmm.
wow, what you're doing, that sounds great. I want to be a part of it, but I ain't no senior citizen.
Oh.
Got you. Let's turn it to a coalition, and you can then be an advocate, raising and lifting a voice for us. Because as we look at our community's elders, we have such a rich heritage, and our legacy is so great. And we got to know that we have a bounty with a harvest for our community, and we've got to bring that growth and sustainability in. So that's how the name was founded, the Urban Aging Resident Coalition,
okay.
with the tagline, wellness, wealth, and wisdom, because everybody's aging.
I
so
love that.
We,
I noticed
yes,
that.
Yes. And then we fell into the pandemic. Mm. I had major surgery, and I was able, that's why the dates are so very clear in my mind, because our governor, DeWine, set the restriction that there would be no further hospital surgeries or anything on March the 12th, and that was the day of my surgery. So I had to stay in the hospital extra days and so on and so forth. And when I was allowed to go home, I couldn't have visitors, as you well remember.
Yes.
And I think our listening audience is very familiar with the strategy that was imposed upon us for isolation, reduced socialization, and everything. Well, what still was occurring were health issues, violence in our community. And there was a brief meeting in the summer of 2020 after my surgery in March, where a group of the senior citizens, we got together and we literally were holding hands and embracing others 6 feet away, stretching out our arms, and just devastated because we could not see each other. So what I know about life and what I know about African Americans in particular, we thrive off of socialization. That's one element you cannot take from us. So I decided that we would have a gathering in my front yard, and I called it the front porch chat.
I love that, and because you're being wise, because you're taking into account that this epidemic is real, that it's
yes.
killing people, it's making
yes.
people sick, leaving long standing impact, but also you are doing the mitigating components of distancing and masking
yes.
outdoors, because at that time we really didn't know very much about
Absolutely.
COVID.
Absolutely.
And so what you were doing to keep everyone safe and well and still think of the spiritual and the mental
yeah.
needs of everyone, you were outside mitigating by distance and masking, and that was very wise.
Thank you, Reverend Carolyn. And the other sad note that tied into this was 6 blocks away from my home. Tragically, a 2-year-old toddler was fatally, accidentally shot by her 14-year-old cousin.
Oh.
So part of me was devastated when I watched the news, and our coroner at that time was Dr. Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
She was literally drawn to tears, fighting back tears, as she gave the update. And she simply said that she never envisioned her job as coming to work to do an autopsy on a 2-year-old.
On a baby. Oh, my.
On a baby. So I reached out to her office and invited her to come. And I called it our keynote speaker for the front porch chat.
I love it. I love
it. And she was just overwhelmed, like, nobody ever invites us. I said, first of all, this is where we as community need to pull together, because even though that 2-year-old and the 14-year-old, those are not my children related to DNA, but they are our babies because we're
ours.
In community together.
They
she was
are
fascinated.
Ours. Yes, and we weep. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, finish your statement. I'm sorry, I don't want to overtalk.
Oh, no, I was just saying, you said they are not our children by DNA, but they are our children, really, and we weep for
them.
In
the community, right.
In the community, and we weep for the circumstances.
Absolutely, because it was all accidental. So I really began, she agreed, and she said immediately, have you got media coverage? I said, I don't have no connection with the media. This is to bring our elder seniors together. We had a group of young people that wanted to get out and play jazz for us. So my neighbors
nice.
On the right, my neighbors on the left, opened up the front yard. I contacted our community liaison police officers. They came by, the health department, and we had just entered in. I had just finished a clinical trial with Dr. Kathy Wright, who is a professor at OSU in the College of Nursing. She does a wonderful mindfulness activity to open up all of her events. And she was not physically able to be there. We had her on a laptop and and speakers, and the elder seniors were sitting in their lawn chair, and we all did mindfulness.
Yes.
OSU, the PAC program, they were not physically able to come, but they purchased all of our box lunches.
Oh, how
that
nice.
Was delivered. It was absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the launching pad for UART and why the empowerment and the issue of bringing together community, even in the midst of trauma, even in the midst of violence, we can still get together and be strengthened.
Channel and be safe, yes.
And be safe. Channel 6 came out, did a full story on us, as well as covering Dr. Ortiz, which she said it was very unusual that the county coroner is invited to informal platforms like this.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it was our front porch chat.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved on, and the elder seniors and older adults were crying when it was over because we couldn't hug each other. We had masks. One of the managed care plans provided hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
The health department brought us boxes of face masks for us to take home. It was wonderful.
Wonderful.
So we decided we would start meeting every month. And Reverend Keyes opened up his church for us to meet in the parking lot.
Okay.
And then we decided that based upon food, and this is through a lot of the experiences that I've gone through, when you go to the food pantry, they give you a gallon of milk.
Uh-huh.
A quart is way too much, right?
Okay.
So I reached out to Broad Street Food Pantry and said, is it any way you can give us a bulk of food and we will break it down to a 1 or 2 day serving? So now the elder seniors would receive a small pantry bag as well as a box lunch at every single meeting. And we've been going strong for 3 years.
Oh.
And every single meeting, they leave with a box lunch, a healthy box lunch, and a pantry bag with 1 or 2 days serving of non-perishables as well as produce.
Well, that's your object lesson of doing it together, isn't it? The African proverb.
Yes.
Look at that. Look at that. That is just amazing, amazing. And, you know, it makes me think of, and I think I told you this when we were talking on the phone, of the scripture. Just sort of not quoting it, but just saying, you know, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When
Absolutely.
One has a burden, we help that person bear the burden. We
Absolutely.
Bear one another's burdens, and we rejoice with one another. And that is scriptural, and that is what you're doing, and that's what you're encouraging
Absolutely.
Your seniors and the young people who are
Yes.
part of your coalition. They are doing that. This is just magnificent, really. And 3 years later, this was born in a pandemic that was so devastating to so many. But in the midst of it, the Spirit led you to be able to bring good out of it while using the healthy parameters that you just had to, you know, recognize. You couldn't just pray that away.
Absolutely.
You had to pray in the midst of it and do the mitigating things that you needed to do to keep each other safe, because that's a loving thing to do, and yet you still could be together. I think that is magnificent, really.
So this turned out to be so amazing, and the help and the offering of assistance was just phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. The way everybody came together. Dr. Ortiz, a sad, tragic incident. You were prompted to call her to come and share. And the mindfulness through the laptop, PACT coming and sending you the box lunches, the mask and hand sanitizer being provided by another group, and Channel 6 being there, and the wonderful people that wanted to supply uplifting jazz.
Yes. And the other component, which is one of our core values, is to bridge the intergenerational divide, to bring us closer.
That's so important.
The Academy of Urban Scholars, which is the school founded by John Gregory, they provided the young people through their summer program at every one of our events to be there and carry the chairs. They gave water. Oh, it was just amazing. And the young people began to interact and engage in conversation with the seniors. So this goes on.
And it's very important. The intergenerational component is very, very important. It really is. And it gave those young people meaning and purpose and place. And place. So many of our young people don't have a sense of meaning and place. And it gave those young people meaning and place.
And they were just so pleased. And some of the elder seniors just said, you can call me Grandma. And they called us, Grandma, you want another bottle of water? And a few men that we had there, they was calling them Pops and Grandpa. It was absolutely. And this is ongoing.
Ongoing.
So we didn't just stop there. And that is so important to fundamentally building the unity in community.
Yes. Amen.
And so we're happy about that. And that goes back to that African proverb.
Yes.
Which says, if you want to go far, you can't go alone. We've got to go together.
That's
and
right.
That means including our young people, our younger generation, which there is a theory. I shared this earlier with someone over the phone. It's called the Silver Tsunami, and you can Google this. And it's actually a theory that gives reference to the next age population coming behind the baby boomers, which is who we are. Because this rapid growth in terms of individuals turning age 65 is happening so quickly.
Wow.
Until there's got to be services and programming available to meet those needs.
You know,
this group.
Finish your thought and then we'll go to break. Finish your thought.
So this group that the theory is based on, the Silver Tsunami, it's important for us to reach back. These are our kids now.
That's right.
And we've got to reach back and bridge the gap.
We do.
So they, too, will follow the transition and look at all the health components to improving the quality of their life, which is encapsulated in the quality of our life.
You know, that is so important because it takes the fear away from getting older. Our culture is so ageist, and it's actually, I don't know the word for it, but it's also youthist. I mean, it's against youth. It's negative towards aging, and I think it makes for a space of fear. And what you're doing by bringing, encompassing the young people and giving them purpose and meaning and place, you're helping them not to be afraid of moving forward in their development. And it's showing them, do something with your life. Begin here. Do something with your life. Move forward. And you can embrace aging with wellness. And it it is the project is so filled with love without talking about it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yes, you're absolutely right.
A lot of people talk about love, but they're not very loving. And you're not talking about it, but it's filled with love for self and others and for the building up of others, caring for yourself and caring for others. There's just so many things that we could say about it, and I want to continue. Before we go to break, though, because I don't want to forget to do this, for your coalition, would you give contact information so that our listeners will know, well, if I'm a senior citizen, this is how I can become a part of these front porch conversations or talks, or if I'm a young person, I'd like to volunteer.
Absolutely.
Or if you're a business or just an individual that just wants to give, you know, to donate in some way. So could you give us your contact information?
Yes. Part of that information is we're an affiliate with the African American Male Wellness Agency, and they can always directly contact them. But we have now, because this has evolved, so we now meet at the Martin Luther King Library every last Wednesday of every month. So it's the last Wednesday of every month where we meet. And even when the library has their summer reading program, we've been given space down at Broad Street Presbyterian Church in their beautiful chapel. So
wonderful.
What is
your time?
We usually meet around 12 noon,
okay,
and we're finished around 2. So it's midday, only for 2 hours.
Okay.
And we have speakers. I've changed the format, and I've now introduced the elder seniors and older adults to the concept of speed dating. And when I told them that, they were like, oh, you're going to get us some boyfriends, Ben. No. I want you to speed date your resources. So generally at every session, we have tables around the perimeter of the room with different agencies who bring information relative to services, programming, funding, healthcare, you name it, they come.
Well, that
and so
sounds...
the contact information is the email is our acronym, U as in umbrella, A as in apple, R as in Richard, C as in cat. So it's UART614, which is our area code, at gmail.com.
Okay.
And the phone number is 614-822-0045.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And if I can just slide this one little bit in.
Okay.
We've been graced again with a wonderful partnership through the Ohio State University College of Social Work, their Age-Friendly Innovation Center.
Ms. Shield, after our break, I want to go into it because I'd like to talk about those OSU interns or volunteers.
Yes.
But I definitely wanted to get your contact information because
this is
such an exciting program and so needed in our community. I don't want our listeners to miss any information about how they can become a part of this as a participant in your monthly meetings or in any other way. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Check it out on the TTR app. Just download and add to your cell phone or tablet. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Faith and Family listeners, we're back, and we are getting some wonderful, uplifting information for abundant living. And we are talking with Ms. Pam Shields of the Urban Aging Residents Coalition. She is the founder and the director. And wellness, wealth, and wisdom, because everybody's aging. I love that, Ms. Shields. So let's continue if you want to talk about that motto, how you came up with that. But you also want to talk about the OSU students that are partnering with you, OSU, how they're partnering with you. It's just exciting. So please continue.
Well, thank you so very much. And I do sincerely feel that this is an honor to share this platform with you. But may I go back a little bit to a website that the African American Wellness Organization, they have us on their website, and it's aawellness.org. And you can click on the link for the Urban Aging Resident Coalition. We haven't gotten quite to the independence and the profile where we stand alone, and I'm okay with that because the blessings have been flowing in an abundance toward us, and the help has been just absolutely amazing. One of the greatest opportunities came through the College of Social Work at The Ohio State University, when they heard about our program, and I participated on one of their advisory councils, and I began to share details, as I've done today on your program, about you are, who we are, and why we exist. And one of the things that bears witness that you are is an opportunity to lift up a voice and to mobilize advocates and partnerships within this coalition. Because, again, one of my favorite quotes, silence is slavery. To be silent, you have bound yourself into slavery. So UART says that we are the face of the urban aging. We are the face of the voiceless. We are the face of the powerless. And we are the face of the neighbors.
I love
that. Having said that, yes, that's an anonymous quote.
Mm-hmm.
Silence is slavery. To be silent, you have bound yourself up and not released the opportunity for someone to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So the College of Social Work, the Age-Friendly Innovation Center, asked me, what is it they could do? And I said, well, I have a plan, and that is to access only a few of your scholars. So they got together a group of scholars who are social work majors, some on the bachelor level and some on a master's level, and some that have graduated and are serving in internship capacities. And I met with them and shared, just as I've already done with your listening audience today, our core values, our mission, where we're going and who we're trying to serve, and the why. Why is this needed? How do we get people to embrace health and improve the quality of our life and our health outcomes? Well, God is so good, because of the 10 individuals, the scholars that were there, 7 of them were available immediately. The other 3 apologized because they were getting close to graduation and felt like they wouldn't be able to donate and give their time that they wanted to. But they said as soon as they're in a position, they're going to reach back and help us. So these scholars began to pull together a data bank where we've had people sign in. telehealth is one of the great barriers that many of the elder seniors are facing, and that mm-hmm. came out through the pandemic where you could not see your doctor face-to-face.
Yeah.
You had to do the telehealth. So we received some assistance with that through another Ohio State program. I'm telling you, we've been blessed
yes,
all
you have.
The way around.
Yes,
we
have
truly, truly, when I tell you, we have been truly, truly blessed. And
yes.
I'm going to talk about that program next. But this group of social work scholars have pulled together our database. They assist in getting speakers and all the logistics for pulling our meetings together. And then they come to the meetings and assist with making sure everyone gets a box lunch, pantry items, signed in, get the resources. I cannot tell you
this is just
how
amazing
that has been. So based upon our programming format prior to this year, prior to 2023, they began with us last fall.
Mm-hmm.
So at the close, generally, we would not meet during the winter months because inclement weather
sure.
is not good for the elder seniors to come out.
Sure.
So we
sure.
would take a break from November until April is when we would start up, because April is the launching of Minority Health Month. But when I met with the scholars back in October, I said, what about the idea of having each one of you take one of those months, and we can get a small cohort or focus group of the elders, seniors, together, and you can present a topic. Oh, my God, that went over. And it was so wonderful. They assisted with December was the first month we did it, because we met at the end of October, and Thanksgiving was November. And they had, and that's the picture you see in the dispatch, they dealt with depression and the holiday blues, which was absolutely amazing.
Now, since they weren't meeting in person, did they do this online?
No. We were meeting, because we've been meeting now for over a year in person. Oh, no.
So you didn't take your winter break?
We did not. We only did it with a small group.
Okay.
And that small group met at the Martin Luther King Library.
Okay.
And each one of those scholars signed up to facilitate the meetings.
That's
for
wonderful.
Each month. Isn't that wonderful? They were getting
it most certainly
hands
is.
On. They were getting hands-on experience working directly with elder seniors. So that December was the one, if you've seen the article in the dispatch, that's where they took a picture of us meeting, and it was only about 12 of us in that room.
Sure.
And
sure.
we talked about depression.
Yeah.
The scholar gave us tidbits on how to overcome loneliness during the holidays in
yes.
case your family. It was absolutely amazing.
Well, that is, and I'm glad to see it's gone into broader society, because for
absolutely.
Years in the church, there has been there have been programs around Blue Christmas. This
yes.
has been going on for about, 20, 30 years. A pastor developed a curriculum around that, because he said, we're forgetting that many people have losses of all kinds of people
absolutely.
They love, of jobs, of all kinds of grief, and that many times the way we celebrate Christmas, it isn't that merry for a number of people.
That is correct.
And so in the churches now, during Christmas, there are small groups who can meet with a facilitator
yes.
to just process those issues around the issues of a Blue Christmas. So I'm so pleased to see that that has generalized into broader culture. It's very needed
yes.
because people used to feel guilty
Absolutely.
If they were feeling blue during Christmas. Oh, you're
Absolutely.
Supposed to be happy. Well, no, I'm not happy because I have a major loss in my life, and
Absolutely.
I'm still dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've
mm-hmm.
come to realize that during holidays like Christmas, everyone isn't jumping up and down with joy. Maybe they have
that
joy because they
mm-hmm.
love, they're loved, and they have people they love. But they
mm-hmm.
have losses and of all kinds, people they love, situations, surgeries, whatever.
Yes.
And they need to have support during a season where everyone
Absolutely.
Else may not be aware of the pain that they're experiencing. So I think that is just wonderful.
So may I add another component that created another layer
okay.
to that depression, and that is post-pandemic.
Yes.
So
yes.
now it's more complicated because some of us are still suffering with the depression and the isolation.
That's right.
You see. So now it's layered and it becomes complicated.
Yes.
So that turned out to be a wonderful meeting. And we simply asked as an offering to each other that each senior pick a partner. And this was your offering to me and my offering to you to exchange telephone numbers. And during the entire month of December, call each other once a week and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that went over very, very well. And, of course, January, it happened to be we had an ice storm, you know, that freezing
yes.
rain, so we couldn't meet in January.
Yes.
February was Black History Month, and our scholar arranged for Council Member Mitchell Brown
mm-hmm.
to be our keynote speaker, and he gave us a wonderful overview of his life as a young man and
mm-hmm.
how he was a paramedic in Pennsylvania. He helped, saw all of this as a result of his mother who needed to be seen and couldn't get the proper paramedics to take care of. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And his military background and, of course, his community and governmental service. And then the second speaker was Nina Brooks with the City of Columbus with Inclusion and Diversity.
Okay,
so
wonderful.
It was absolutely wonderful. And then, of course, we rolled into March. And the scholars that had that the month of March wanted to deal with nutrition.
Okay.
And they had Dr. Rachel, and I'm sorry, I cannot think of her last name.
Mm-hmm.
She was absolutely phenomenal from OSU. She's a neuroscientist.
Oh, wonderful.
And she talked about, and it blew my mind, how the lack of nutrition impacts the signals the brain receives, and it can damage your health.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and she gave like an overview with the evolution of how the Homo sapiens ate meat, and meat back then was different because animals didn't have stored fat. Because they would run and chase, you know, other animals, and how now there's more stored fats and polyunsaturated fats. She was absolutely amazing. And then we also had our second speaker, who was from OSU, the College of Agriculture, the 4-H. And she talked about she was a licensed nutritionist. How to read your labels and the importance of that. And the third brief presenter, because we're bringing him back this month in April, he is with the PAC program
mm-hmm.
for Community Gardens. He
yes.
talked about the demonstration of how to grow potatoes in a laundry basket.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So for April, we're having our topic for April will be on infant mortality.
Okay.
And we're hoping to get Dr. Roberts, our health commissioner, and we're going to have a panel. And we're hoping to get someone from OSU and as well as Children's Hospital. And
well, you know, one of the maladies or illnesses when you talk about psychosocial for elderly as we age is feeling disconnected, feeling
Absolutely.
Purposeless, feeling
Yes.
like, you know, there's no more purose, what meaning. And I love how your program is really a remedy for all of that. Of course, times
Yeah.
have changed, and my parents were, my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
not let alone
mm-hmm.
my children's grandparents, but my grandparents were active up until they were almost 100 years old,
That's
serving
right.
people through the church and the church luncheon program. My
yeah.
grandmother ran that and doing various things in the community. And you are helping to be an antidote to a special kind of isolation that can come along with aging if there isn't intervention like what you're doing. It's wonderful.
Yes.
I see here, Who Is You, ARC? Elders, older adults, and advocates embracing heritage
That's
and
right.
legacy with a bountiful harvest producing
That's
sustainability
it.
To uphold
That's
three
it.
Basic pillars. Health, you've
Thank
mentioned
you for
that.
Quote.
Education, you've mentioned that. Quality of life, you've definitely mentioned that. And enhance all of these for seniors and for the young people that are involved.
It's called the Interprofessional Practice and
Yes.
Educational Program. Dr. Andrea Feifel, she's the Associate Vice Chancellor for this program. This started as a pilot program a few years ago at Ohio State, where they bring, again, scholars from various disciplines
Yes,
throughout
that program.
The College of Medicine. Yes.
Not to interrupt you, but the interprofessional
No.
program was going, it's probably 40 plus years old, because my husband was on the board of it. I have spoken in it.
Yes.
I was in seminary years ago after I raised my children and went back to seminary. And the whole idea was to bring multiple disciplines together
Yes.
to bear on a program, on a problem, on a situation. And I'm happy to see that it's going on in a different configuration maybe still now. But please continue to share.
So let me add the component, because you're absolutely right. From the historical perspective, what I'm giving recent years to is telehealth.
That's
they
right. That's right.
Many of us, and that's only a couple years old, with iPads. That's where I'm going with this. And that has been amazing. They provided the iPads, and they were trying to teach us how to do the telehealth. And that's been going on for about 2-3 years now. And I was in their first cohort. And the iPad that I'm looking at right now was a result of my participating in the program. So I'm not really sure if they're still giving the iPads out. I know they were. And it was because of the whole telehealth and the interdisciplinary, where we had one of the groups I was in, I had a veterinarian student because I have a pet. I had someone with family medicine. I had dental. I had vision because I wear glasses. So you and Judge Pettigrew are absolutely right. This has been around, but they had to, again, change the focus.
Yes, well, see, it's just the roots are interprofessional.
Yes.
They learned that, you know, okay, I'm a clergy. I'm seeing
Yes.
certain problems, and I'm dealing with it from my discipline, but you've got other issues that don't come in
Bad.
My basket, but you're not getting connected to other professionals for that.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is to get interprofessional group people talking to each other and working as a team on whatever the issue is. And that's what I meant historically, beginning to have interprofessional disciplines talk to each other, because 50 years ago they didn't.
Because I was one of those people, and I'm still not fun.
And you have a team. You have an interprofessional team, and so all of your team is going to be able to see your records and talk about you, talk with you.
Yes.
And you can improve the health and education, as you say, your goals are, for your seniors by having all the related disciplines impact and speak and provide services for whatever you need, a team approach, an interdisciplinary.
That is correct.
Interprofessional approach, interdisciplinary. I love
it. Our biggest barrier, Reverend Carolyn, was the fact that a lot of us didn't use the computer and the pandemic. See, this tied in again to that pandemic where we couldn't get in. You remember, you couldn't go to the doctor's office.
Yeah, that's right. That's
but
right.
They needed to be seen, and that's why this program began to breathe life on many of us. And I did, they even role played with me on how to do the telehealth. So that was a big accomplishment. And even though some of us are still not real good at it, but the exposure was great.
So now, are more of your seniors who are participating, are they able to use their iPads enough to go on a telehealth appointment with the doctor?
Yes, it's getting better. And
so,
even I have to give a shout out to the public library, particularly Martin Luther King, because all of the libraries offer this service. But I do a lot of my computer usage right there in the library, because they will assist you with how to use it, how to do Word, how to do email. Just absolutely wonderful.
That is so wonderful. Well, we could just talk on for hours.
I know.
And you just piqued my memory a little bit. So I hope I was able to connect and did all right, and to bring it, you know, into context, because it's wonderful to see how things have unfolded. So this interprofessional project of giving the iPads for so that your senior members could learn how to use them and have their doctor's appointments, and even, you know, now during this, you know, the pandemic is still with us, and they can continue to do this, and I'm so grateful.
Yes.
Well, I am so thankful. We have come to the end of our time, and I'm so sorry about it, but we have certainly enjoyed having you as our guest on Faith and Family. Mrs. Shields,
you, the founder
and organizer of Urban Aging Residents Coalition. And Faith and Family listeners, her favorite song is sung in 1972 by Bill Withers. And it's Lean on Me. And I'm just going to thank you, Ms. Shields, and I'm going to thank you, Faith and Family audience, and I'm just going to close by reading just a bit of this, not the whole song. Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm going to need somebody to lean on me, to lean on. I'm going to need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow, for no one can fill those of your needs that you won't let show. Lean on me. And Faith and Family listeners, thank you for listening. and blessings galore. See you next time.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.